Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name's Emily. And today we are going to break down our first Survivor episode.
All right. So off the bat, what were your thoughts?
Anger, disappointment, dismay.
I feel that.
Also, from what I was reading online, we'll get to it, but the thing that happened with one of the players kind of having a little bit of an outburst.
Yeah.
Is very unlike the show. Like, everyone was, like, kind of freaking out about that online, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is something that doesn't happen that often.
Well, yes and no. Like, it has happened in, like, the last few seasons on the first day. Like, someone is freaking out, or somebody gives up on a challenge, or something like that. Like, that's happened a lot recently, and there was one season where, like, a bunch of people quit. Like, three different people throughout the season quit. And so they, like, changed the rules of when someone quits. And I think that they got to get better casting. But, I mean, we'll get to it. But at least he didn't quit.
Yeah. I was just shocked by the ending. But we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So we have three tribes. What were their names?
It is Gada, Lavo, and Tuku.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get this going. All right. The intro, I don't know about you, but I got chills.
I did too. And I don't even watch this show. I was like, oh, it's happening.
I know, but I feel like Survivor, more so than any other reality TV show, like, the cinematic parts of it are amazing. Like, their drone shots. Later on in the episode, there was, like, a scene where these sharks are all attacking these fish. And I was like, how'd you even get that shot?
Wow. I didn't even see that. Or I didn't notice it.
Yeah, the beginning was amazing. That's all I have to say. I did really like that they started it with these voiceovers, like, as they're riding through the water to get to Jeff for the first time. And there were, like, three different people that had quotes about fire.
And oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. And then one girl was like, I'm either going to be on fire or I'm going to burn this place down. And I was like, yeah.
Clean.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool because.
That is cool. Because it's the theme. It's like the symbol of Survivor is fire.
Right. Survivor represents life. That's Jeff says it in every single episode.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Okay. Also, did not know that this has been 24 years of Survivor.
That's wild. So this show came out in 2000. There's been 47 seasons, so that means that they put out on average more than one season a year. And I guess they do it in Fiji exclusively now, because they used to do it in these crazy places where it looked like humans had, like, not stepped foot. And I think that adds an element of unpredictability, but I mean, if it's a TV show, it's on network television. They have to cut the budget, so they got to do it in one place every time. I'm assuming that's why. But also, Fiji is gorgeous.
Yeah,
gorgeous. And it has a little bit of everything. You have rain. It's hot. I don't really actually know anything about Fiji.
Well, that's what it seems like from every single season. Is like, it rains, it pours, there's cyclones, there's extreme heat, like. It kind of seems like it has all the elements.
So why don't you break down the first challenge for us? Yeah. Or unless you wanted to go through some of the people first.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I have before that was, like, the first thing Jeff says is why Survivor is so great. He goes into, it's been on for 24 seasons for a reason. It's because you have to vote people out and then get them to vote for you at the end. And he goes through, like, basically why he thinks that it's the greatest reality TV show, why he thinks it's the best game show, why it's been on for so long. And right then and there, you're like, okay, this is a legit game. Even if it's your first season watching it, you're like, okay, this is legit. It's been on for 24 years. And immediately I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? It is really hard to get to the end and then get all these people to vote for you, knowing that you had a hand in voting them out.
Yeah.
I love
after you had to screw them over and lie to them and form alliances against them.
Yes.
They have to still somehow like you enough to give you $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. Then Jeff goes into interviewing a few players in past seasons. This is where like people can sink their game on day one. Like if they say something about them being super strategic when he asks the questions, or some people have just straight up called people out. They're like, I don't think I'm going to vibe with so-and-so. And you're like, you just called someone out in the first 5 seconds that you're on Survivor. Luckily,
yeah,
that didn't happen this time.
No, they're smarter. They were smarter about it.
They all had really good answers.
It is fascinating, though, because I'm sure in like the earlier seasons, people just came onto the beach and they were like, when they did those intros, they were probably just genuinely just saying things about themselves. Now I feel like this game has become four-dimensional chess in a way, mm-hmm. where they're thinking about everything from the moment that they get in the boat and meet everybody to the moment that they get on the beach, of how they're presenting themselves, their facial expressions, how they're coming off, and what they're saying. And they're probably thinking through every single word that they're saying so meticulously. And I feel like that maybe lends to the outbursts that we saw later and some of the outbursts in recent seasons that you mentioned. Is, I mean, obviously it's physically demanding. And a lot of people probably watch this show and are super fans, but aren't necessarily that mentally tough or physically fit. And then just like the mental, I mean, my brain would combust if I had to sit there and think about, oh my gosh, let me not piss anybody off. Let me not offend anybody, but also let me not seem weak. Et cetera, et cetera. I feel like it's a lot to be going through the noggin.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I feel like it's just so hard to take in the physical aspect, the social aspect, the hunger aspect. Like all of that is so hard to do, but you can tell that these people that have been casted are fans of the show. They've watched the show and they know that these questions are going to be asked in the first 5 seconds of being on the island. And like right. all of them had prepared answers.
They definitely did. So first challenge. Yes. I know they had to crawl through the mud under a net.
Yes. So
and then what did they have to do?
Then they had to carry all these puzzle pieces back to their tribe, untie them and carry them back.
Those puzzle pieces looked heavy.
Yes. And did you see Sue out there, 59-year-old, carrying one by
herself? Oh my gosh. She was killing it, and she was going faster than half of everybody else.
Yes. I was like, okay, she might be a force to reckon with.
She might be my favorite.
Yeah, she might be my favorite, too. But one of the things that Jeff Probst says in his podcast is those burst challenges always have a mud component. They always have some sort of, you got to get dirty, because they want the players to feel like they are in the element right from the start.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, of course, they're going to have to go head first into the mud day one. Their clothes are all filthy. Like, they're already living in Survivor.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because that puts you, I mean, you're not even trying to stay clean at that point. You're literally, I mean, they were caked in mud.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So we have Gata that gets behind in the challenge. And two of them struggle to get their puzzle pieces back, but then they come from behind and win. I think they finished their puzzle super quick.
That is a testament to puzzles, the being good at puzzles, because it seems like in the few episodes of Survivor that I've seen, at the end of the day, when it comes to the challenges, your physical strength and your speed far outweigh anything else. So it was so nice to see being good at the puzzle made them win.
Yes, yes. I love that part. I love that, like, no matter what happens during the physical part, like, you can always come back in the puzzle. So we also got a twist at the end of this. So Gata got their supplies, their camp supplies. Tuku and Lavo did not. In recent seasons, they go back to the beach and they have a sweat versus savvy. So they either have to be savvy and complete a really hard puzzle, or they have to sweat it out and get through a really hard physical challenge to be able to get their supplies. This year, they switched it up and they were like, no. We're going to take one person from each tribe and send them to do another challenge to win their supplies. And I was curious to ask you, would you volunteer to go on that challenge day one?
Hell no. Because, so I would not want to be the person who has to do this challenge. I personally, I just wouldn't even want to be on Survivor. I would be the person. I would be the person who I make a little bed with a bunch of leaves or something, and I just lay down because
it seems exhausting.
So when I saw that Aisha and TK volunteered for this, I was like, more power to you. And it ended up being a really, really close match.
Yeah, it did. But I was just like, I'm not volunteering for this. You have to make so many connections on that first day. And if you're not there at camp, like, everybody could decide as soon as they get back to camp, hey, we're voting you out.
I wonder if they were thinking, like, maybe if I volunteer for this, it comes with a little bit more like an immunity idol or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I really can't wrap my head around why they would volunteer for it, except for it would be nice to bring your camp back things that they need. But also, is that really, in the current way that Survivor is played, is that really as important as strategizing with your team?
Yeah, no, I don't think that it is. And so I wouldn't volunteer for it. Maybe they thought they were going to get some sort of advantage or idol out of it, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So our next portion is Gata is washing themselves off. John's telling them what he does. You said you knew who John Lovett was.
Yes, he's a podcaster, which they said several times on this show.
Right? I was like, they're really giving him a lot of attention. Well, now we know why, but
yeah.
Yeah, and I like how he was like, did any of you know who I am?
That was funny. They were like, no.
Yes. But we see the Gata tribe, we see the Tuku tribe, we see the Lavo tribe, and you can already tell that alliances are joining. We have Andy and John who have decided that they're going to pair up, and then you have everybody else on their tribe saying they're going to go against them. On Tuku, we have Sue wanting to pair up with Gabe and Caroline, and really Sue has it nice right now because both Gabe and Caroline approached her and were like, we want you.
Right.
And she just didn't have to do anything. She was like, okay, cool.
I think they saw her as like really strong player plus sweet old lady in one. And they're like, oh, let me get on that right now.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And then on Lava, we had Genevieve, Rome, and Teeny all getting along.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't seem to last very long, but is what it is.
No.
And then we get to the supply challenge where we have TK and we have Aisha going head to head in this challenge to win their tribe supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go through the jungle, find three keys, then they have to find a fourth key. The first person to find the fourth key wins the challenge. And TK wins. I thought it was
barely.
Funny. I thought it was funny that she was trying to like take it from him once he had already found it. I was like, okay.
She's really trying.
She did really try. And I would have been frantic in that moment. Like, I would have been frantically running through the jungle. And they
Me too, but she got a little bit lost. And she was like, I don't know which way is the ocean. And I was like, just run downhill. And I'm pretty sure, but I don't know. I've never walked where they were walking, obviously. So I have no idea. I know I would have gotten lost. I get lost driving. So that...
But I thought, I was like, just run in a direction. It's an island. You'll hit the beach at some point. Like,
right.
I don't know if they had to go like over a hill. And I have no idea. But I was like, just run through the trees and you'll find the ocean. You don't have to find the trail.
Right. But even with that, he couldn't find the thing that the key was in for so long that she basically caught up to him just as he saw it. And he grabbed it out of the ocean, and you could tell that she knew what was happening, and she tried to wrestle him a little bit for it, but she was, like, laughing while she was doing it, because I think that she knew that it wasn't going to work, and also she, like, I don't know, it was kind of an awkward moment. I was like, okay, you're not going to get that from him, girl, but good try.
It was. And I kind of wanted her to, like, get it before he recognized that it was, like, right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm always rooting for an underdog. But
me too. Whoever's behind, I want to win.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we see the Gata tribe, and they kind of do this where they go through Gata, they go through Chuku, they go through Lavo, like over and over and over again. To me, it seemed like it was a really long episode. I know it was a 2-hour premiere, but I just felt like I was done watching the strategy, and I really just wanted to get to the next challenge.
Same.
And hopefully, I mean, I know that they usually do premieres longer. I don't know why. Like, I would think you would want to hook someone early on with something really short, but it is what it is.
Well, let's then talk about, did anyone find an immunity idol or an advantage of any sort between the TK and Aisha challenge and the next challenge for all three tribes?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, who is it first that finds one? Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
Finds the beware advantage while he's looking for firewood.
And what exactly does that advantage do?
So a beware advantage is something that's been new for the past 7 seasons. And it is an idol once you do whatever the advantage tells you to do. And that's what it's been in every single season. It's like you always have to do something else. You don't just get to find the idol. You have to like go through all of these hoops to get the idol.
Got it.
So he knows, if he's watched the past few seasons, he knows that if he opens it up, he loses his boat until he finds that idol. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a beware advantage, because risking your vote to find an idol.
Okay.
Yes. So he immediately is just like, I'm finding this idol right now.
So
he doesn't take a back seat and say, let me come out tonight and try to do this or that. No, he's like, I'm finding it right now. So he's looking for the key, and TK walks up. And
that's right.
Yes. Gabe plays it off like, oh my gosh, I found the key. This must be a key to a beware advantage. But we found the key before we found the beware advantage. That's never happened before.
He was BSing him hard.
He was. And TK was like, oh my God, that's so strange. Like, we have to go find this beware advantage. Meanwhile, TK in his interviews were like, yeah, I know he's lying to me. He definitely already found the beware advantage.
That is so smart of him to know. I mean, that is just, you really have to play four-dimensional chess to play this game now. But it's so smart of him to know that, because otherwise he would have been set on a complete fool's errand and he would have got sidetracked for hours on something that was never going to happen. So that's, I mean, props to TK, but also props to Gabe for trying it. Pretty smart too.
It is. If it would have not been TK, he probably could have gotten away with it. But TK saw right through it and automatically is now like, I don't trust Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have Aisha, and she comes back to her tribe, and Teenie's like, I recognize you. You have a Survivor podcast.
That was funny.
And I was like, dang it. There's already a Survivor podcaster that made it on the show.
My thought was, ooh, Emily can try, if our podcast takes off, she can try to get on the show.
Yeah, I was like, and I wonder if that's how she got on. Maybe this is just my long route to getting on the show.
But it seemed like Teenie was the only one who really recognized her, which I imagine if you have a podcast that's just geared towards Survivor, probably only like big, big Survivor fans who also listen to podcasts are probably the only people listening to you. So it kind of makes sense that only one person knew who she was. But Teenie was hilarious because she was like, I don't want anybody else to know that I listen to your podcast, because I don't want them to know that I'm a gamer like that, or that I'm studied and strategic or whatever.
Yeah.
But she was like, but I want you to know that I know who you are. And I thought that was funny too, because I was kind of like, why did you tell her?
Well, it was kind of like, hey, in a nice way, mess with me and I'll let everybody know that you're a student of this game.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you have to work with me now.
Yeah, because she was like, kind of like, I know your secret.
Yeah, okay. And if
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, if Teenie really wanted to get dirty, they'll be an alliance till almost the end. And then near the end, she'll be like, this girl's got a Survivor podcast.
Right.
Vote her off.
Oh my gosh. That I feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I do too. But in this same segment, we have Rome is idol hunting. he is looking everywhere. And I'm like,
he was hunting hard and he was not caring about how it looked. Like, he had to have been gone for hours.
It's day one. Do not put a target on your back on day one.
Exactly. And he's really lucky that it wasn't his tribe that went to council.
No, he is so lucky. So lucky that it's not his tribe. And he does find it. And he knows that he needs to come back at night because the box that he has to dig up is like right in the pathway. So like anybody can walk up at any time. So he's like, all right, cool it out. I'm going to come back at night. Something that Gabe did not do. He was like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Tuku. And Gabe tells Sue about his beware advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake?
Oh, no. She jumped 10 feet in the air when he told her that.
That was
like, almost like, don't tell me.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't know.
Well, I think like in that sense, like when someone tells you that, you have to feel really good about your place in the game.
Because
somebody already trusts you enough on day one to tell you that they have an advantage.
Yeah. I think it's smart on his part, too, to just go ahead and solidify an alliance early like that. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, it could go really bad if Sue has a stronger alliance with other people who want her to do differently than what he wants her to do. But I thought that was pretty bold of him.
No, I did, too. But I don't know. I really didn't like the move. I hate when people share their advantages and their idols with other people. Because then they rarely get to use them.
That makes sense, actually.
That person tells someone. Because that person can tell someone. And if he then also has to tell TK later on, because TK's like, you're full of crap, then that's going to be two people that know about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I was in the game of Survivor, I would not tell someone that I have an idol or an advantage unless I absolutely knew I could not get it without them. But I think Gabe was just being impatient. And he wanted that idol right now.
Yeah. So did he have the idol at that point, or did he just have the advantage?
He just had the advantage, and he needed time to get the key to unlock the box, but the box is right in the path. So he didn't want anybody walking on the path. And instead of coming back at night, like what Rome did, he was like, again, he was being impatient, and he was like, I have to do it now. Sue, keep watch.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I just didn't.
Their code word was like something about the fire.
Yes. Yeah. That was funny. I love how he like didn't just put dirt back over the box. He was like, I'm ripping this whole box out of this hole.
Literally, what is wrong with him on that respect? And then like, it was a box inside of a box or something.
Yes. So he does unlock the box, and it is an idol that is good for one tribal council. So he can then forfeit that idol for another clue to get an idol that lasts three tribal councils. And he's like, well, what the heck? Sure, I'll do it. And I'm with them on that because, like, the odds that you're getting voted out in the first tribal council, I feel like you can get by on that one. Like, you don't need the idol. It's going to go to waste. You went through all this trouble just for you to not have an idol. Like, you know?
Right. Yeah, your odds are better the first week.
Yeah, and we'll get to his decision-making later, but I didn't agree with that one either. So we go back to Gata. We have John saying he's the oldest in the tribe, so he kind of feels like an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have Andy saying he only connects with John. So then he tries to connect with Rachel.
Andy connecting with people is so funny. It's like, you like apples? I like apples. He's like, John's like, yeah, I'm gay. He's like, cool. And then like long pause. I'm bi.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny watching him connect to people. And Rachel just is not having it. Like,
because he's desperate. And like, he has energy of like desperation. And like, nobody wants to have an ally who feels like they're just desperate to have an ally.
Anybody.
I don't know. I couldn't describe it.
Anybody.
I can't describe it. Yeah. It's just like in dating, where like, you don't want to date somebody who's like desperate for anybody, or he was like, he was not thinking, who should my alliances be? What's the strategy here? Like, he was coming off as like, please be my alliance.
Yes. Like, he was desperate. He was like, nobody likes me on this tribe. Please be my partner. And then he's like,
bless his heart.
He's like, let's meet early in the morning before anybody gets up on the beach. And Rachel's like, no.
She said, no, heck no.
She wanted to be like, hail to the no, no, no. But she played it cool. And she was like, I don't think that's a good idea on the first day.
What an idiot. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. But then we get to, it's the middle of the night. And he's like, I can't sleep. And I'm like,
oh, yeah. And he ended up going to wake her up, didn't he?
Yes. And I'm like, does anybody ever sleep on Survivor? You're literally sleeping on bamboo.
He's just antsy.
Yes. I'm like, dude, try to sleep. If you can't, then just lay there by yourself. Do not go wake somebody else up.
Yeah. Like, sit in the ocean.
That is the worst way to try to make an alliance partner.
Yeah.
Wake them up in the middle of the night.
On their back, which is why I'm shocked at how this episode ended, to be honest.
I know. So, I am too. Like, he had so many strikes against him, and he just freaking resurrected from the dead. From now on, I'm calling him Zombie Andy.
Zombie Andy. He's being resurrected from the dead.
He really did. Rachel's really irritated with him, and he can tell. So he's like, great, now I don't have that connection. So then he immediately goes to John and is like, I feel paranoid. I feel like nobody likes me. And John's like, maybe I need to rethink my alliance.
Yeah. John seemed like really unprepared.
Oh my gosh. I thought that John, I don't know why you would vote him out besides he being the oldest. And I think that's an immature decision. But he, to me, maybe unprepared, but like the way he talks, I thought he could convince anybody of anything.
He has a very dry sense of humor. Very dry sense of humor. And like, he says he's a podcaster, but I would say that he's more of a comedian than anything else, because like, I mean, that's kind of what he does, is on his live podcast, he like tells funny jokes. It's live in front of an audience. So he has that ability to say things in a certain way, for sure. But I also think that his physical strength played into it a lot. They were talking about how weak he was a lot.
Yeah, I just didn't understand. I was like, you're weaker than the guy that almost passed out in the challenge? Like,
right. Like, mental toughness counts too. If that guy is, just because he's a little beefier doesn't mean that he's tougher.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's stronger just because he's beefier either. Like, you'd never, like, John could be really good at puzzles and you still need that guy. Like, I just didn't get it.
I didn't either.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we'll get to it. So that happens, right? And then over at Tuku, we have another middle of the night episode where Gabe goes and finds the key to the little box.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like banging the driftwood, trying to get the key out of it. He gets the key out of it and he opens up the box, and there's another box.
This is the third box.
I don't know about you, but that box would have ended up in the bottom of the ocean. Like,
I
would have been like, everyone would have been woken up at camp, because I probably would have been cussing through the woods as I'm marching down to throw my freaking box in the ocean. Like, you're joking. There's another freaking box.
I don't need this.
Yes. I mean, in a way, I saw it coming, because I was like, a 3-day idol, that's still not a full idol. So he's got to be able to level up one more time.
I think it's like people find idols so fast that they're like, we have to entice them to be on like a days long search, because then it'll put a target on their back and it'll make having the idol a little bit more of like a balanced thing, where it's like, okay, it's good that you found this, but you had to search for days to get those 5 council immunities. And
yeah,
then now people are going to be looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is a beware advantage, because I don't think that anybody that found one of these advantages came out clean.
Right.
Because he told people, and then Ron got caught by everyone. So
So did he find the next box?
So who?
Gabe.
So Gabe opens up and he has the little box inside of the other box. So he's now gotten the idol that lasts for 3 tribal councils. Mm-hmm. Now he has to choose if he wants to look for another key and try to extend his idol until the final 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides not to.
Okay. So he sticks at the 3.
Yes. But why? Like, you've already gone through all this trouble.
I agree. Like, and he is obviously good at finding the keys.
Yes. I'm like, Sue already knows. You last one more day. You go out in the middle of the night again. Like, I just didn't understand it. I was like, you've already gone through all this trouble. Why not?
So what happens if somebody else finds the key for the 5s? Is that like, does that mean that, I don't know, if they find that key, what will they know? Will they even know what it's for?
No, they won't.
Okay.
They won't. They'll probably then try to find the Beware Advantage to figure out what it's for.
Gotcha. But then, if they have that key and they tell Gabe that they have that key, he could be like, well, funny thing, I have this. And
could they
then open it? Okay.
He could. But if you notice, like, the second key was literally inside of Driftwood. Like, he had to break the Driftwood open to find that key. So they don't make it where it's, like, visible. So, like, the only way you're finding that key is if you have the clue to it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that things like that, I guess, don't happen. But yeah. So he takes the 3-day idol. Stupid decision. I like how I'll sit on my couch and judge all of these players.
Eating chips and drinking wine. Why did you do that?
I'm like, you're dumb.
On this show, this would be my problem. I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't. I find something, I'm telling everybody. I'm getting voted out first probably because of that.
No, same. So then we go to the Lavo tribe and we have in the middle of the night, Rome goes to the box. He gets his clue. He waits till the morning to figure out what the clue says. And he has to pour water on Driftwood and a message is supposed to appear to show him where the immunity idol is. He gets caught doing this. He seems to not care that he caught doing this because he continues and he does find the clue. Meanwhile, his whole tribe is talking about him down at the beach and saying that they're suspicious of him. But needless to say, his clue sends him to the water well, where he is upside down in the water well trying to find this key. And then his tribe walks up and he just walks away.
So when Rome was at the well and everybody walks up and he just walks away, were people suspicious of him?
Yeah, they were like 100% suspicious of him.
Like, and he just tries to like play it off, I guess.
He just literally walked the other way. Like, he didn't try to play it off. He just walked the other way.
Oh, well, what did they say?
All of them were like they didn't say anything to him, but he could clearly see them like walking up and they could clearly see him. And then he just walks the other way.
He's really lucky they didn't have to go to tribal council.
No, he really is, because he was being suspicious. Everyone knew that he was up to something, and he did get away with it, though.
So is that the last thing that happened before the challenge?
Yeah, for sure. So we get to the challenge. This challenge. Oh, my gosh. So they are playing.
They're not very good at boats. Oh, sorry. They're not very good at boats.
Not good at boats. Bad at boats.
Bad at boats.
A-D. Oh, wait. B-A-B. Bab. Bad at boats.
Facts. Okay, so explain the rules.
Okay, so they're playing for reward. They're playing for immunity. First tribe to win gets immunity and a big toolkit. Second tribe to win gets a smaller toolkit, but they still get immunity. So the challenge is that they have to swim through the water, get into these boats, paddle and get all these chests on their boats, drag their boats through a net, get the puzzle pieces out of these chests, and build the Survivor logo puzzle. Buff it. These teams, I don't think I have ever seen 2 teams flip their boats. I didn't think the boats could flip.
They don't look very flippable. No. They're pretty wide.
Like, when I was like, how in the world are they even going to pull themselves up into these boats?
That's my worst nightmare, can I tell you? Anytime I've ever been floating down the river or kayaking and I have to, or like even like on a pontoon in the river and I have to like, or not in the river, but on the lake, and I have to like pull myself up onto some type of flotation device, whether it be a boat, kayak, or a float. I cannot do that. So I was sitting there kind of like entirely panicking as if I was in the situation.
Same.
Like, I'm not pulling myself back up on that boat. Y'all are just going to have to drag. What? I wonder if it would be against the rules to just like hold on to the edge of it in the back.
I don't think so, because
that would be so funny. You're like, we got a boat, Angela. She ain't even kicking back there. I'm just kicking my little flippers as fast as I can.
Oh my gosh. I don't think it's against the rules, because at the end of that challenge, you do see people like in the water, like walking the boat in the water.
That's true.
So I don't think you have, like, I just don't understand, because they made it seem like you had to get in the boat and everyone's just like yeeting themselves into this boat and having no trouble with it. But yeah. Somebody would have to, like, I don't know, somebody had to grab me by the panties and pull me up.
Airlift.
Airlift, yes.
Can we get a helicopter in here?
I would be like, everybody pull on three.
Same. But they all finally get back on their boats.
They do.
But they're too far behind.
They're so far behind. And at this point, we have Lavo's won the challenge. It's like, oh, yeah, duh. What? I was like, if they blow this lead, they're garbage. Really
puzzles. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, ooh.
The puzzles are not prevail this time.
No. So obviously, Tuku's going to win immunity in the smaller toolkit. So. Andy on Gata just lays down.
Completely collapses.
He's just so overheated. And
I have a theory. I think you're probably thinking the same thing. I feel like everyone was thinking the same thing. That man was fine.
He was not overheated.
They literally put him on the ground and they said, you know, temperature looks good. Here's some water. You're going to be okay. But my absolute favorite part of the entire show is when Jess comes over to him and Andy's like, man, I gave it all I had.
I gave it everything.
It just wasn't meant to be.
I was going to be voted out tonight, Jeff.
That's right. I forgot he said that too. I was going to be voted out anyway.
Out of all these seasons, like, Jeff just stays so professional, but how in that moment do you not be like, you might be?
Like, yeah.
No, you still have like, a chance. You might be voted out.
He was more like, you're still in the game. We're not pulling you for medical reasons just because you needed a little lay down. You needed a little break.
You needed some water.
So I feel like Andy was like reluctantly pulled back into the game because I think that he was legitimately thinking, nobody here likes me. I'm going to get voted off. I mean, yeah. I don't know that he was, you know, doing it all on purpose, but at least subconsciously he was like, well, this didn't go how I wanted it to. And all the strategies that I wanted to do aren't working out. So, and he just is like, I'm done. And he just lays there and Jeff's like, no, buddy, like you're not missing a limb or something. You're going to still play.
And in his mind, he's like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Literally, I think he was.
He's like, is it too late to run in the ocean and try to break my leg real quick?
Yeah. Why didn't I break my leg?
He was like, by God, I will not be the first voted out of Survivor. You're going to have to pull me off this island.
It's like turning off the game console because you're about to lose instead of just losing.
Yes. He's like, I'm not having it. I'm out, guys.
Okay, so they're getting better.
Yes.
I guess.
And then, oh my gosh, he just goes into this spiral. So Jeff is asking him in front of all three tribes, like, what happened? And he was like, I got overheated, but I'm okay.
I'm good now, guys. Don't worry. We weren't worried. Oh, and then the man just starts word vomiting. That's the only way you can describe it is word vomit.
Yeah.
And my favorite part. So he talks about how no one likes him. And the two of the girlies in front of him are like shaking their heads vigorously. They're like, no. Chill out. Like, we like you. Because, of course, what else are you going to do? You have to be like that with your tribe until it's time to vote them out, obviously. But
You're like, keep your mouth shut.
Oh my gosh. The funniest thing I've ever seen on this entire show, to be honest, was when he said, I know that you guys don't like me, because when John cracked his coconut open, you all cheered. You gave him a round of applause, a 10-minute standing ovation. You celebrated him. When I cracked my coconut open, crickets. Nothing.
Nothing.
Which, of course, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was just so dramatic for him to even hold on to that. Like, you know, he was thinking about that all day. That's all he was thinking about. They didn't cheer for my coconut crack.
Yeah, and you know it was eating at him, too. He was like, there was no cheering for my coconut. They like John more. I'm going to throw John under the bus.
And then he proceeds to say that out loud. Yeah. John, his only somewhat ally, or almost ally at this point, he basically is stressing because he's like battling internally of whether he should throw John under the bus or not, which I thought was fascinating.
I thought it was fascinating too, but John played it really well. He stayed really calm and he just kind of joked about it the whole time. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's the only thing you really can do in that situation, because you can't blow up on him in front of all three tribes. Like, just try to deal with it once you get back from the challenge. And lo and behold, that doesn't work out in his favor.
And it seemed like online, this was like the outburst heard around fandom. Everyone was talking about it. It's all they were talking about. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was really funny. I loved reading everyone's takes and memes.
Yes.
I guess because I started researching Survivor for the show. So like my algorithms have kind of been a little bit more Survivor-y.
Yeah.
Oh, the memes and the fan base. It's all hilarious.
Yeah. You still have to look up the Liz explosion from last season. It was 10
Liz
times.
And Q.
Yeah. Liz and Q. And it was 10 times worse. You have, like, you just have, we'll talk about it next time. But, like, you have to go and watch it, because this girl still didn't get voted out after this. So I'm like, oh, Andy didn't do it as bad as she did. So
apparently outbursts are okay in Survivor.
Apparently they are. Like, people just keep not getting voted out with these outbursts. And I don't know if it's like people think that, oh, well, now he's really easy to beat. I mean, that is the case. Like, you're like, yeah, on the first day, like, you were imploding at a challenge and everybody that's playing the game saw it. So nobody has respect for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of is easy to beat, but can you trust him?
Right.
I don't know. Okay. They get back from the challenge and John's talking to all the girls and he's like, so we're obviously voting Andy. And they're like, immediately, they're like, yes, but we're telling him that we're voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
John does not like this.
Yeah.
He didn't like that one bit.
Because in his head, it could easily just be him. And they're just telling him that it's not him. And they're telling Andy that it's not Andy.
Right. And some
of it could just be John.
Yeah. Some of the best Survivor players that I can think of have all gone along with this plan. Of you can tell him it's me, you can tell him it's me, you can tell him it's me. And they just have to put their trust in everybody else, because it's like, what else are you going to do? Are the three girls going to go over there and be like, we're going to vote for Sam? Like, that's so unbelievable. So, you know, it makes sense that they're going to throw out John's name. Like, and a good player has to be okay with their name being thrown out as like the vote that the person getting voted out is voting.
It's almost like he was too analytical about it. Like, he was too in his head of like, well, if they're telling him that it could be me, then like that could be the truth rather than.
Yeah. I think he got in his head too when Andy did say like, I was going to throw John under the bus. He was like, well, are people already throwing me under the bus? Like, why would that be? Am I like the lowest on the totem pole? Like, why would you throw me under the bus? You know? But then.
So what does John do?
Yeah. So then John goes to Andy and it's like, let's vote out Annika. And it's like, what? He wanted
to
vote
pick a random girl. I didn't really understand. Did he just pick a random girl, or was it?
I think it was because he thought that she was a bit like calculated and strategic. Like, he could see that. He could see that she was really well prepared, because like she led the tribe when they first got to the campsite. And she was like, oh, I read in a Survivor book that, or I watched a video on these coconuts. And if they start growing back into the ground, they have this like frothy coconut milk in them, you know?
That's right.
And so I think he was like, she knows her crap. So we got to get rid of her.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But then they try to bring in Sam. And Sam is just kind of like, I guess he kind of like goes along with them in the conversation, but then he immediately goes and talks to the girls and they all of a sudden now jump to, should we be voting John out instead of Andy?
Right.
And they do this based off of strength and challenges.
Well, was there ever, okay, so maybe I'm forgetting. After John talked to Sam, was there some type of explicit conversation about voting John out between Sam and the girls?
There was back and forth. So like the girls and him were talking about, do we vote Andy out because he's a loose cannon, or do we vote John out because Andy is strong in challenges? And I guess ultimately they came to the decision that like Andy's stronger, so that at least they can still win a challenge with him and maybe they won't have to vote anybody else out. But I'm like,
that makes no sense.
Makes no sense. He, like, he's the only person that couldn't finish the challenge.
He's the only person who laid on the ground.
He's the only person that laid on the ground. I'm like, he couldn't finish the challenge. But he's, and I think, not that the strongest.
He's definitely not. And I think that they're looking at him and being like, oh, he's so much beefier than John, taller than
he's
John.
He's young.
Yeah. And John, I feel like he does have, like, a feminine vibe. Like, he is short and small. And, I mean, obviously his game would not be like his strong suit would not be the challenges. I 100% get that. But also, not to sound like I'm stereotyping, but generally, no matter how strong a girl is, the guys are usually going to be stronger in challenges too.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what the challenge is. I mean, they try to like balance it out.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing too. Like, what strengths are you looking at? Are you looking at like, can Andy squat more than a John can? Yeah, sure. But can John swim faster than Andy? Yeah, probably.
And can John mentally outlast in the challenges? Definitely.
Definitely. John's not going to give up. And we clearly saw that as soon as Andy thought that it was him going home, he freaking gave up to the point that he was wanted to be medically evacuated. Like,
he literally collapsed. He thought he was going home, so he collapsed. You want somebody like that on your team to do challenges? Please.
Yes. I hope Andy does that again. Like, I hope next week they lose it. He's like, I'm going home again. Kill's over.
And I really wanted Gata to make the right decision because yellow is my favorite color.
Right?
I was rooting for them.
Come on.
No. Right. Maybe they will. Who knows? Maybe they're doing some strategies that we can't even conceive of.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're not seeing the full story, whatever. But then they go to tribal council and most of the conversation is about Andy. And Andy kind of tells his story. He talks about how he was insecure growing up, how he didn't really fit in, how he just in his life felt like he fits in and is really sure of himself. And he was like, I was really excited to put that to the test when I come out to Survivor. And obviously, that didn't last. I'm like, no, bro. It didn't freaking last 3 days. Like, what? You wanted to leave because someone didn't lap at your coconut opening skills.
Well, a lot of people think that they have grown in a lot of ways until they are tested. I think that's a very relatable experience in life.
Yeah.
You feel like you've conquered a certain bad habit or bad ways of thinking about yourself. And then you're actually put to the test and you give up. Because you haven't actually conquered those things. And I really think that's what happened with Andy.
No, yeah, no. And that is so relatable. Like, I feel like so many people could relate to that.
For sure. Just shows you that in this game, though, if you're going to go into this game, the mental toughness is probably the number one thing that you should work on.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I feel like it makes an easy excuse to vote those people out if you're not mentally tough. And if you can't handle the elements, and if you can't, like, as soon as you show weakness, like, people will pounce on that.
Right.
Because they need any reason at all to vote somebody out. And then they're gone.
Right. It reminds me a little bit of The Bachelor in that way. And yeah, we'll probably have more comparisons as we start recapping The Golden Bachelorette. Is you're trying not to give the lead in that show reasons to send you home. And I think in Survivor, you're just trying not to give people reasons to vote you out. It's less about, I feel like in the early game, it's less about, oh my God, I have to have the perfect strategy that's going to last me all season long and have these perfect allies and all that. It's really just do your best, be good at challenges, don't give people a reason to vote you out, which is why I personally would not go looking for advantages at all in the first few days, especially not before the first tribal council.
No, like you don't need to give someone any reason to vote you out. That's why I wouldn't go to the challenge where you win supplies for your tribe. Like, I'm not trying to give anybody any reason to vote me out.
Yeah, you have to play a very conservative game the first. Yes. I would say, I don't know, because I don't, you know the show so much better, but I would say at least the first one or two rounds till tribal council, you have to play a conservative game.
You do. And someone that I think did great with that was Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Sam was like, I'm not taking the lead at camp. Like, I will do whatever. He literally went up to those girls and he was like, what do you need me to do? You need me to build the shelter? You need me to collect coconuts? And they were like, yeah, do this. And he's like, got it, on it. Like, I feel like he is going to actually make it far because he's just kind of laying back, playing it cool. And he knows he can't come out strong or else he's going to get voted off.
And it's funny, speaking of stereotypes again, to see the way that the women in the beginning of the season really run like the social game. Like you could tell in Gata that those girls were in charge.
Well, yes. Yes. And I feel like they just they lock it down so much better than the guys. See, I mean, we still in this entire time that Survivor has been on TV, we have still never seen an all-guys alliance.
Really?
We've seen plenty of all-girl alliances, and everyone's terrified of them because they've worked multiple times.
Yeah.
We haven't seen an all-guy alliance, unless you're talking about One World, which was literally the tribes were split up, girls and guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like guys can't lock it down. Girls can lock it down.
Yeah. It feels like the girls are more loyal.
Yeah. And they don't just they don't question. I don't know. The girls don't question it. It's like, you said you're not voting for me. Cool. You're not voting for me. Where the guys, you see it with John. He's like.
And Andy.
Yes. And Andy. Both of them get paranoid right away. And it's like, none of these girls are running around doing that.
Yeah. They're chilling.
They are chilling. They're running the show.
So we talked about how at Tribal Council, they questioned Andy.
And I don't know about you, but as they were going to vote, I had no idea who was actually getting voted out.
I think I'm a little bit more naive because I was like, it's got to be Andy. I was like, there's no way it's not Andy.
I was like, oh, the storyline. I feel like it's not Andy.
You're used to watching the show, though, where you know when they're going to trick you, like what storyline they're trying to set up to throw you off the scent a little bit.
No, yeah, but I was really, really hoping that it would be Andy, because these past few seasons we have seen these players who should have been voted out in the first tribal council make it further, and then it ends up destroying the whole tribe. So last season they kept Bonu was a loose cannon, and they ended up with three people on their tribe going into the merge. Same thing happened the season before. They kept this guy that was really bad at challenges, really bad. Can't get up a ladder in the water. He was really bad at challenges. And they kept him. I think his name was Brandon or something like that. But they kept him. And they ended up with three on their tribe going into the merge.
Yeah, they should really focus on challenges, it seems like, early on. Because that's the only way that you get to stay on is if your tribe doesn't get a tribal council.
Yes, exactly.
And the only way to do that is to win challenges.
It's the only guaranteed way to stay on the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand it. And I'm angry at the end of this episode. So Jeff reads the votes. There's two votes for Annika. Those came from John and Andy. And then everybody else voted for John.
Mm-hmm.
And John's out. He's gone. He's our first.
He was so entertaining. First boot.
I know. I just...
It hurts. But, and he was also the only one that I kind of knew of. So that made it a little bit interesting. But I'm going to have to start listening to, was it Rachel's podcast?
Yeah. No, what? Who?
The girl with Asia? The Survivor podcast. Asia, yeah. Her. I'm going to have to start listening to her podcast so that I know somebody else on the show.
Right? I'm like, maybe we should start listening. I wonder if she's recasting her own season.
Oh, I'm sure. That's got to be like the juicy details right there.
That would be so funny to be like, this is what really happened.
So I'm excited to see where this season goes. But out of spite, I do kind of hope that Andy weighs down Gata.
Yeah, me too. I kind of hope that Gata's done with. Although I really am rooting for Sam and Sierra. Like, they're up there on my list.
Sam is definitely up there on my list, too. So, I think I kind of really like Teamy, but I can't tell yet.
Yeah. No, I do, too. I think she's funny, and I think she gets along with, like, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we did good recapping our first episode. I don't know if you want to pull back the curtain a little bit, but we actually recorded half of this episode. And you can cut this out if you want. And then forgot to hit record when we rejoined the Zoom.
We
had to re-record it. But it turns out.
We've been on Zoom for probably an hour and a half because we
definitely
forgot to record half of our episode.
But it turns out me and you always have shit to say.
It's true. We don't run out of crap to say. I will say that we talked about totally two different things in both times that we've talked.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, we literally have so much stuff to say.
Yeah, we literally have so much. I hate that you guys missed out on Angela saying, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious.
Oh, I thought that was in the first half. Yeah, I definitely said that about Rome, walking away from the well, trying not to be suspicious.
Yeah. So
he was. He just walked away.
Yeah. So if in later podcasts we call him Suspicious Rome, that's why.
That's why. We've got Suspicious Rome, and what did we call Andy?
Zombie Andy.
Because
he rose from the dead. I think that part probably got cut out too. So we have Andy that rose from the dead, Zombie Andy, and Suspicious Rome. I will say that both of those I picked as going to the end.
Yes, you did.
I am really bad at predictions,
to
it turns out.
Honest, who do you think is going to go to the end after the first episode, though?
Sue.
I have Sue.
Sam. Sue is in the final six. Sue's definitely in the final six. If she plays up the mom card, I think she'll get voted out, though.
She really has everything. She has physical strength. I feel like being older kind of like makes you less of a target in a way. Mm-hmm. Even though she's 10 times stronger than half of the younger people.
No, yeah, but that's still, who else? I mean, I think Sam will make it to the merge. I'm scared that at the merge that he will, like, be too strong. And they'll be like, oh, he's too strong. He lost a challenge finally. Let's vote him out.
I'm curious to see how Asia's podcast experience is going to, like, affect how she plays. If she's going to be really good or... if she's going to be overthinking everything because she pays too much attention to the show.
Yeah, but also I feel like being a podcast host and doing it for a while, then you're like good with your words.
So true. So true. And you can organize your thoughts and you can say what you're trying to say. But also, I don't know if it's actually like this, but I know like in other reality shows, they're like, oh yeah, I watched for years, but once I was in it, it was completely different.
No.
So I'm wondering if that's going to happen with her.
It would be. And that's kind of like what I can't even remember who it was. Somebody said at this tribal council was like, you have a strategy going into this, but then you get out here and you don't know if you're going to be able to do what you thought you could do. And I'm like, yeah,
you don't. You really shouldn't make your strategy until you meet your tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do kind of have to have like, things I guess you want to do, like your goal list, like what you want to put on your Survivor resume. But other than that, like you don't know who you're going to be paired up with. You don't know who your alliance is going to be. So like, you know, just don't go into it with any expectations.
Yeah, be flat. flexible.
Yeah. Except
Andy's issue is like he came in like, I'm going to form all these alliances, and he wasn't able to be flexible when it wasn't immediately happening.
And he wasn't able to be flexible when he saw the tribe going against him. He just laid on the ground and said,
they didn't cheer for me when I opened my coconut. Now I'm overheated.
He cheered for John when he opened his coconut. And for me,
nothing.
Nothing. I heard crickets.
All right. Well, I think we did a great job recapping the second half of that episode for the second time. And I think we did a great job recapping our first episode of Survivor. And I'm very excited to recap the rest of the season with you.
Me too. Thanks for hanging in with us on this episode. We will have our Golden Bachelorette recap of episode one out soon. And as we hammer down this schedule, y'all just be flexible with us. We do work long hours and we just are trying to do this for fun. So spread the word, spread the pod, and follow us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, follow us on Instagram too at binge.banter. Make sure that you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast so that you get a little notification every time we drop. And that's it for our first recap of Survivor Season 47, Episode 1. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name is Emily. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.